Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. Before we get into today's show, just want to say thank you to everybody who has rated and subscribed to the podcast. Also, everybody on YouTube, thank you for watching over on that platform. And just want to say thank you to the audience for continuing to pursue and find Jesus with us each week. It's such a gift. And thank you for everyone following along. So if you are following along and you would like to help us out, would you please even just rate and subscribe to the podcast or jump over to YouTube, subscribe there. We release content almost every single week. But today on the show, we have Joey Odom. Now, just recently, I was introduced to Joey this year, and he has become a fast friend, as you'll figure out. Joey Odom helps lead something called Aro, which is a company that's transforming how we relate to technology in our time. This conversation was rich in so many different ways. One of the ways primarily in how we can practically use technology in a beautiful way now with our families. How do we integrate that in a very real way in our modern moment with our kids, with our spouses? And what are these things actually doing not only now, but in the long term? We're also seeing this thing rise currently within our culture. And we talk about this even today on the podcast of what's really going on with technology. It's not just Christians per se, the whole world is rising up and really asking the question, what is this doing to us now and in the long term? And Aro, specifically Joey and Heath, his partner, are taking this on in a very practical way. I know that you'll laugh, so please enjoy today's conversation with Joey Odom. All right, welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. If you're visually joining us on YouTube or on social media, any of those places, we're visually in a different space today. And we're actually in Franklin, Tennessee, which is great, right outside of Nashville. And we're actually in the Think headquarters studio. And so thank you to Gabe and Rebecca Lyons for letting us use this space as their studio. But we're using it today because we want to introduce you to our new, I want to say one of my favorite people, but one of our first time guests, but definitely not the last time guest, Joey Odom's on the show today. So if there's any applause where you're at, yes, yeah, small applause.
No, let's hear it. Let's hear it. What,
just little snaps. Joey, welcome to the show.
Oh, Brooke and Elizabeth, you too. You just, you know, I think we can, you said one of my favorite, I think we could go ahead and declare best friendship.
Yeah.
Can we do that? Yeah, is that okay?
We've seen each other. What is it? I saw you last Wednesday in a different city. I see you this Wednesday here. In two more weeks, we'll be together again.
Yeah.
I think it's happening.
I think so. I think we just became, just like on Step Brothers, did we just become best friends? I think this has happened.
Yes.
The answer, yes. I love it. And if you're laughing at that reference, thank you. That makes me really enjoy it.
You need, if you're laughing at that reference, you need to watch what movies you're watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to repent. Yeah. I guarantee my wife does not know what that movie is.
Nope.
Yeah. She wouldn't know what that movie is. She's not seen that movie.
I didn't see The Little Mermaid until I was in high school.
Wow. Well, it's a little racy. I get it. Yeah. Exactly. You know? I was thinking the bikini. Yeah. That's sure.
That too, probably.
Yeah.
That too.
Yes.
Well, and by the way, Elizabeth is much better than at least me and probably you. I think we can say that.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I think Elizabeth wins here.
Yeah. I know that. It's consistently know that. Obviously, I want to say welcome. There'll already be an intro. People would have already heard your intro, but I want to just say thank you for being here today. Mm. And we wanted to interview you for lots of different reasons. One, because we were on your show first, the Aro podcast. And if you're wherever you're at, just stop. The link will be in the show notes. Click over to that. Subscribe to that on whatever platform you listen to YouTube, whatever you listen to. your podcast on. It is fabulous. So many great guests, so much good conversation, but really around the topic of technology, how it impacts our life. We're going to get into that story. So don't worry. We will definitely go at length about what RO is and how to get involved. But your podcast is great. You're the host of it. So this is your space. And you're going to say
one more plug for your podcast.
Oh, come on.
The interviews that you're gathering, like I think sometimes when people hear like, I don't want to hear another person talking about digital stuff. You are gathering people talking about having the conversation from every angle that you could possibly imagine, from well-known people to average, everyday, normal people. So yes. I feel like the conversations that you are curating are so needed and so helpful, no matter where somebody is coming from or the age of kids they have, or if they don't have kids, or if they're trying to figure out how in the world to handle all of this with their kids.
Yeah.
You guys are just gathering like the best thinkers on all of that, but real life people.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think the reason, and maybe this is a helpful frame up for this discussion, is because this topic of technology should be approachable.
Yeah.
And it's not approachable. No. It's one that our defenses immediately rise up. So for anybody whose defenses have immediately rised up, knowing we're going to talk about technology, you can let them down, because this is an invitation. We hear so much. I think a couple things. We hear mandates, which your defenses rise up from that. And this is an invitation. And that we also hear condemnation around this. And then even more so, I think it's we hear a lack of clarity. So one reason why, like we all know, like a plan inspires confidence, as imperfect as a plan may be. So as we talk about it, we want people to walk away with clarity and not just this like, oh, technology is bad, or, oh, this is the technology is ruining our kids. That's not the message here. The message is, hey, here's the reality of the world we live in, and here's what we can do about it. We don't have to accept everything that's happening around us right now. And here are some ways that you can counteract that in a way that's very practical, very applicable, and does set your family up for success.
I love that. And obviously this started somewhere for you. And as you know, this space, one of the things we love to do is introduce our friends here over the microphone to our friends out there.
Yeah.
And so we get to introduce them to Joey Odom. So you obviously, you have a wife, you have kids. Why don't you introduce us to your fam real quick?
Yeah. My wife, Kristen, and I have been married for 20 years. I am on the taller side of things.
You're huge, man.
I'm a big guy. A lot of body. I am 6'5". My sweet wife, Kristen, claims 5 feet tall.
But barely makes it.
Just barely. I mean, if at all. So she's 5 feet tall. We've been married for 20 years. We have a 16-year-old son, Harrison. We have a 14-year-old daughter, Gianna. We live in Knoxville, Tennessee, a little bit east of where we're sitting here in Nashville. And yeah, we've lived and we grew up, my wife and I, we got married in Buffalo, New York, where she's from, lived in Tulsa for 9 years, which is where I'm from, lived in Atlanta for 9 years, and have been in Knoxville for 3 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The first time, so we got to meet each other digitally and spend time digitally, but then when I first met you in person, that was my phrase. Yeah. There's a lot of body. Still my favorite phrase. Still love seeing you. I'm a very average height person. So, I mean, for me,
next to him, you look real short.
Though. I know. thanks, sweetheart. Thank you. I know my strengths, and it is not a physical one that I can change. So these are the attributes that you chose. You said yes. Anyway, so that's family and this stage of life. And, you know, obviously we're going to get to RO, but I would love to kind of hear maybe even your own background and maybe passion for where, because people are going to ask what RO is.
Yeah.
Maybe just for a brief, to give us just a brief of what RO is.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
For the person that's in my, I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
The world will know soon, but give a brief of that. And then really where the origin of that started.
Yeah. I'd love to flip flop the question if I can.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'll take you back about 11
years.
You're
such a podcast host. I'm actually going to do it a different way.
The great thing, you can just hear the question and just say whatever you want now. So I'm going to now take that great question and say whatever I want.
Yes,
I'll take you back about 11 years. My son Harrison, who I mentioned, who is now 16, who remains the greatest kid in the world. I mean, he is, and I've told you, Brooke, I've told you, like, he's just my dude. Like, he is such a stud. He's such a good kid, such a sweetheart, high EQ, just great kid. And when he was 5 years old, for anybody who has been part of youth sports, Harrison was playing a soccer season, and people will relate to this, like the very successful people in, especially soccer, I think, like youth soccer, are more aggressive kids who have maybe just like gotten out of like a work release program or like a, like on maybe like a parole officer at the games with them, right? Yeah. These are intense kids that are doing well. Harrison was not one of those very aggressive kids. So this soccer season, his very first soccer season, everybody had scored a goal on the team except for Harrison. So what we did, what great parents do, not to pat myself on the back too hard. We lugged out the lawn chairs, brought our daughter with us, sat on the sidelines to endure another hour of a soccer game, right?
Sure.
So about midway through this particular game, something really magical happened on this what I thought was going to be an ordinary day. And Harrison was standing probably 15 feet from the goal. And this, I play this moment in my mind like a slow motion movie. Like it really does feel like a cinematic moment, like the James Horner music, like, sure, you know, goes on. And Harrison rears back his leg. He kicks the soccer ball. It glides over the grass into the back of the net for his very first goal. And these sweet parents, they went nuts. Like they knew that this was the last kid to score a goal. So the parents are going crazy. His coach runs out, his coach picks him up. And there was this little split second in between the ball hitting the back of the net and his coach picking him up, when Harrison did what 5-year-old boys do, is he looked to the sidelines at me to have this moment with me, this magical, beautiful moment where he sees the pride on my face and the smile on my face. Yeah. And it really, truly, magic is the word. Like it was a magical moment. Mm-hmm. Except I missed every bit of what I just described. I didn't see the leg rear back. I didn't see the ball go in the back of the net. I didn't see his coach pick him up. I missed every bit of it. And the reason is that I was looking down at my phone. And the natural question is, what was I looking at? And the answer is, I have no idea. It could have been the most important work email ever. It could have been a group text. I have no idea what it was. But what I do know is that moment, Harrison claims he doesn't remember it now, which is great, but
praise God.
That moment I missed, and you don't catch another first soccer goal. So I had a realization right then, and the realization was, and it's going to sound very basic, is something's wrong here. Hmm. Like you think about your life growing up. You think like, who is my spouse going to be someday? Yeah. Like from when you grow up, like they say girls do, boys do too. Like, who am I going to marry someday? So then you find that person, you get married to that person. It's great. And then you have kids, or you try to have kids, which can be just a painstaking process for so many people, a very painful process.
Yes.
And so then all of a sudden you look, I have the wife of my dreams, I have the kid of my dreams, and I'm subverting every bit of that because of this little device in my pocket. Hmm. And this is no demonization of phones, but I realize, and it really wasn't, and here's why it's not a demonization of phones, because my relationships were out of order. Hmm. And I didn't have the words for it then, but I have the words for it now, is I had a relationship with a device that was getting in the way of my most important relationships. Hmm. And it was completely out of order. So I just said, really at the moment, like, I don't think this is how life should look. Hmm. And it would take a couple of years before we had found Aro. And to answer your question about Aro, Aro is a technology platform that helps us change our core relationship with our phones.
Yes.
We have constant proximity to our phones. And if we could break that proximity, we can go into this a little bit more, but if we can break that proximity, which is the defining characteristic of our relationship with our phones, then we can focus on the people who are most important to us, the relationships that are most important to us. So that was where it started. It started out of a just utter failure. And it's something that it's almost like, you know, what a pastor is struggling with when you hear what they preach on Sundays, right? We talk about this a bunch. Sure. And it only comes from a point of struggle and failure because we needed to do something extreme. And we believed at the time, we believe still, that if it can work for our families, then it can work for a lot of families. And that's what we're focused on. We are here for families. We want to create, this is funny, our mission is to create an entire generation of intentional families.
Yes.
So it's no wonder, no wonder we're here with you all.
We're aligned.
Which is awesome, because like let's all do it together, right? Yes.
Hey, Brooke here with Intentional. Just wanted to pause really quick and say thank you to all of our legacy builders and invite you to potentially become one today. If you didn't know, Intentional is a crowdfunded nonprofit, which is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope, practical help, and healing to families all around the world, in marriage, in parenting, in grandparenting, in all sorts of relationships. We can only do that with you, our partners, our legacy builders. If you're curious what a legacy builder is, that's simply a person who's decided to say, not only do I want to pray for Intentional, I want to help Intentional, even in financial terms, to help fuel this ministry and this mission forward. So if you haven't had an opportunity to check that out, you can go to intentionalparents.org. You can click the link in the show notes, but we just want to invite you today. Pray about becoming a legacy builder and partnering with us in a deeper way to help families all around the world. All right. back to this week's episode.
I'm so thankful that you told that story because I think every parent can relate. I'm envisioning in my mind our daughter Birdie played soccer. She just started.
Yeah.
She did spring soccer for a little bit and then she just started fall
soccer. That was when we did the interview with him. Yeah. It was like the first week and you were so kind. You literally texted after the first game. You remembered. You texted after the first game. Like, how was it? It was just like, oh, it means the world. And it was, I mean, terrible. She's this is exactly what you said.
She is how you described your son. Yeah. Like, she just kind of timidly runs up to the group of kids absolutely, who are kicking the ball and then backs up, literally.
Yes.
But
yes.
I'm thinking how easily I can miss watching her for that very same reason.
Yeah.
And I love the way you put, we do have a relationship with our phone.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
That's like a starting point.
Mm. To look at mine right now just for fun.
We have a relationship with our phone. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But so often it comes over and at the expense of our real relationships.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the struggle among dads versus moms might be a little bit different. I think it's the same struggle, but I think maybe sometimes for different reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's more often that men are distracted by work and I don't know, maybe as I'm saying this,
it just depends on the person. I think it depends
on
the person.
Not as much. It does depend on the person, but I'm thinking of mom specifically or whoever is with their kids maybe the most.
Yeah.
Oftentimes going to our phone is because we feel all sorts of stuff about the actual real relationships, about parenting, about our marriages, about the anxieties in our life.
Yeah.
But I just love the way you put that because we can all understand that and connect with that. And none of us want the relationship with the phone to be more important than the real life people, but it happens.
None of us would possibly claim that we would want that, but it does. Again, you're right. It does happen. And I think it happens because it's been such an insidious process. It's just been this thing over 17 years that's happened over time. One interesting thing on the difference between dads and moms and how they use their phones. And this is from research that we've done, and I would love to get your opinion on it. We have found two things, and this is okay for moms, for moms to hear this. And I'm talking more in a traditional sense, so don't, no one yell at me, but moms spend plenty of time with their kids and they don't need more time with their kids. They're actually good. Like they, like from what we hear, like people are, and they feel bad about saying that, but it's sometimes like, and so when moms pick up their phones, very often they pick up their phones to connect with the outside world where dads will put down their phones to connect. So dads put down their phones to connect. Moms pick up their phones to connect. And the other thing about moms, that moms, everything runs through the phone. Like everything, the household runs through the phone and that is okay. Like let's go ahead and say like, that's not a bad thing. And so what happens when we talk about screen time is because we feel so much discomfort with it as a society, we speak about it in very binary terms. Mm-hmm. And when we say screen time, that inherently sounds bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, hold on a second. Like, so we're saying that everybody's screen. So we're saying that you managing the household, so that's a bad thing because it's screen time. Mm-hmm. And so what happens as a result of that is all of a sudden moms, like you just like put like gas on the flames of mom guilt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so moms all of a sudden feel bad for using their phones when good things are happening on those phones.
Yeah.
So that's maybe just an encouragement for people to like wade into the gray waters here.
Yeah,
like it's okay that there's not like, that it's not, screen time is not all bad and it's not all good, but it is gray waters we have to go into to like kind of parse out what's like how we should be using these things well.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying, honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me, God says, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious with that research or with just all the conversations you're having. Totally tracking with you. And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Like so much of what I do on my phone is to take care of all the people around me.
Yeah.
It has to do with them.
Yeah.
And yet my kids still feel, especially as our older two who are quite vocal about it because they hear us talking about it.
We've also given them permission, which I don't know is a great idea or bad idea.
Not 100% sure.
Yeah. We're still figuring that out.
But they still feel it because they don't always know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So they still feel like I'm distracted and they don't have my full attention.
Yeah.
So what are you, or like, I'm trying to think of the right question here. Maybe what would you advise, I guess, moms in that situation? Is that, do we stop what we're doing, look in their eyes and tell them what we're doing?
Yeah.
Or what are you finding is helpful?
Can I ask a clarifying question about that? What can you give me an example of what they might say to you in that moment? And maybe two questions, and I am maybe leading this more than I should. What do you hear from your younger kids if you're on your phone? What do you hear from your older kids? Can you give me an example of what they may say to you?
Younger kids, it's just mom.
literally, it's very fun to watch. Yeah. It's annoying too, because you're like, okay, we got to figure out.
And one of them acts out when I'm distracted. Mm. That's like her bid for connection. I'm going to do something naughty or mean. And then the one of my olders who like needs probably the most connection, or is the most just like she will ask for it more clearly, you know, and she will just immediately, she'll come in, have something she wants to say right now. And if I'm like delayed a little bit because I'm distracted, she'll say, "Mom, you're always on your phone. I'm trying to get your attention."
Yeah.
And then my son, I think he'll just walk away.
Mm.
And he will sometimes say more like subtle things, but he's not going to do the extra step to try to have the connection. He'll just recognize she's not available.
So these little moments, so we refer to these as like mommy watch me moments, daddy watch me moments. Yeah. And these happen at all ages. And the reason I ask the difference is because they show up in different forms.
Absolutely.
And we hear stories of people, even before children are speaking, we hear this from people in the RO community, is that the child will hit the phone, will move the phone. And because they know what's happening. They understand that their natural need for connection, that there's an unnatural device in between their natural need for connection. Mm-hmm. So they realize they don't like it. Like it feels bad. They hate how that feels. And they're mad about it, frankly, because all they have is like their primal instinct there. Right. Mm-hmm. And then as kids get a little bit older, it's exactly what you said, mommy, no phone, daddy, no phone. It gets more and more overt. The fact that your daughter has is overt enough to give those words to it is very good. And what we encourage parents, when you hear those moments, mommy, no phone, daddy, no phone, I would encourage, and moms, if you've heard that, to put aside any guilt and celebrate that, because it means something really important. It means two things, actually. Yeah. The first thing it means is that your child likes you, is that your child wants to connect with you. Like, that's great. Like, that, it is not always a given that your child will like you. Yeah. So if they say mommy, no phone, that just means they like you, right? And the second thing that means is they believe they are more valuable than your phone. They believe that they're worth looking at. They have an innate sense of values, because they wouldn't say that otherwise. They wouldn't say mommy, no phone if they didn't believe that they were more important than the phone. Right. So take a moment to celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And then, like we all know, like, and if you're caught in that moment, like we know one of the most valuable things you can do in a relationship is repair. Like repair is a great opportunity. So it's actually like this beautiful presentation to you to do that. Now, this will go into like what we encourage. We have three S's, three things that we encourage people to do. One of them is search for moments of connection. That's a moment of connection. Yeah. By the way, this is, in my opinion, one of the hardest things to do, hardest things to get right. And I catch myself, I talk about this all the time. I think about this all the time. And yet I catch myself, I'm like, what am I doing? Yeah. Mm. Gianna is talking to me right now. Yes. So those are the moments, I think, one, like, and this is more like principle than actual like guidance, is like, let's celebrate the moment. Let's understand like what a cool opportunity right now. And I think you're exactly right. I think in my opinion, like if that moment comes up, and you can kind of tell, like it probably is a good moment to put it down. In fact, I'll go ahead and give the principle there. Like in the search for moments of connection, when, and it could be subtle, those subtle bids for connection, it could be a little bit more overt as well. It's when that moment arises, I encourage people to say the six most powerful words in the English language in a relationship in 2024. It's going to sound so dumb. It's
going to
sound
so,
you're
going to
be so let down when I tell you what this is.
I'm already excited.
It is, let me put down my phone. That's it. Those six, and then go physically remove your phone from the situation. Yeah. Because you're right, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it feels. And my guess, and I could be wrong, my guess is that it can wait. And in the moments it can't wait, it is perfectly reasonable for you to say as a parent, like, Birdie, I love you. I can't wait to talk with you. I'm doing something right now for your school or whatever it is, like, or for your soccer team. Yep. It is perfectly okay to do that.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, like, that defense may rise up in you, even if, certainly if it's from your spouse. Like your spouse, they call you out on, like, you're immediately going to get defensive.
Why are you laughing? Why are you looking at me?
This never happened to us, ever.
And defensiveness, just for everybody, this is going to hurt mainly for me. Defensiveness is a sign that you could be in the wrong. Like when you feel that, like you're probably wrong, right? You're convicted means you're guilty, right? If you're convicted,
are you
laughing? If you're whoa, easy. If you're feeling convicted, conviction means that you are guilty, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I actually am. It's a reverse thing for us. I don't love my phone. I don't love being on it.
Oh,
yeah. So in our dynamics, a little bit flipped, but I'm happy to be off my phone. I mean, when I don't need it. Mm. But there's no shame in that. I think in general, for me, it brings up something in me. So it's easier, I think, when you go, I actually am not gaining from this. And I feel the moments, the digital fatigue, the fatigue of just having to be on a screen.
Yeah.
And a lot of my work's on a screen. I also think, maybe to just this conversation, it's easier for me to put down my phone because I don't have any distractions when I go to work. Mm. So I think an interesting dynamic is she's trying to do work and do all this while the kids are with her at home.
Yeah.
So maybe to even add on to the, maybe be slow to feel guilt about all of this is that she's trying to do something without a lot of isolated time that's dedicated to just do those things.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to come home, as an example, and put my phone in the RO box.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
Because, I did my digital stuff, whether that was work or that was entertainment or, you know, whatever the thing is, I have space to do it. And so I think that's a really tricky thing, specifically as you're talking about moms having the phone. That's a really unique dynamic.
Environment's important there too. Like if possible, and again, I know I'm giving the ideal here, but this is just like to begin like being cognizant of these things. Like we encourage people to establish sacred times and sacred places. So if you understand, like if you are in a moment where it's like, hey, this is, we're coloring right now. Like that's a sacred time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that probably is a time. And again, environment is the key here. Like environment's always stronger than willpower. So if you are relying on your willpower to overcome your phone's distraction while you're trying to color, impossible. Like over time, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Right. Every time,
However, if your phone is in the laundry room or if your phone is in the kitchen or your bedroom or in the drawer, like you're not going to have to fight the phone's allure in that moment while you're coloring. So it does go back to this idea of intentionality in the moments you're going into and to the point where every now and then people will say this is not an original idea, but you will say like my son Harrison and I watched a movie last Saturday night. It's I'm watching a movie with Harrison right now. It's like a declarative statement of what I'm doing, which is a statement of my intentions. And so of course I don't have my phone with me. Like how silly would that be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think environment very much matters in those moments. But it's hectic. You're in the middle of the day. Of course, you're not going to get it right. Like in the moments, and that's perfectly fine. It gives you an opportunity to teach them. It gives an opportunity to repair. It gives you an opportunity to bring them into your world. Hey, let me show you what I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Hey, we want to remind you about the Intentional Motherhood Retreat, October 3rd through 5th. Starts on a Thursday night, ends on a Saturday morning here in Bend, Oregon, where we live. Space is filling up quickly, but we do still have some spots left. We'd love for you to come join us. Mom, what else do they need to know?
Well, this retreat really lends itself towards bringing your friends and your family, your sister, your mom, whoever with you. It is an awful lot of fun. And remember that what we're teaching is not about how to be the perfect mom, but how to really respond to God so that He can do the spiritual formation in our lives that all of us are longing for.
Yeah, so to find out more or to register, click the link in our bio, and we can't wait to see you in October.
So much of what you're saying is so powerful. We were at an event together, practicing the way. This guy, John Mark, we've heard of him before.
Yeah,
you've heard
of him.
We know Jim about Mark, Jim, that's his name.
Oh, dude, tell. This is great. I'm setting you up for a great thing right now that you're going to be so grateful for. So we were at Practicing the Way. You did a plug for RO at the Practicing the Way Pastors event in Portland. That's where we were hanging. And please tell them how you opened the it was right before lunch. It was the last thing said before lunch. Please tell everyone how you opened that session.
Well, it was so John Mark and I were on Jim Mark. John Mark Comer.
We used to call him Jim for short because we called him JM. And if you say it really quick, it sounds
interesting.
Like Jim. So that was his nickname.
I didn't even know the Jim connection.
Yeah, but JM, we call him JM. All
JM. So John Mark and I were on stage right before lunch, and I said, and John Mark introduced me, and I said, you know, John Mark, we are the very last thing getting in the way of these fine people ruthlessly eliminating their hunger at lunch. And I was proud of it. It was such a something. It was, you know, I was fairly proud of it. It was pretty good.
And then you also said, as I refer to him, Run JMC. And like, so you were saying
Run JMC
instead of Run DMC, obviously, for anyone's like, what does that mean? And then he literally said, which was a surprise to me, I didn't know this, he goes, that's actually my Peloton name. And I was like, Run is your Peloton name?
I don't know why it's not Ride JMC. It's funny. Okay.
Now you can compete with him. You can find out. Yeah. Anyway, you said something there that was actually very, I mean, you have done the data, you've done the research, you know what kind of gets people's attention, but it obviously got mine, and I think it gets anybody's, and you're about to say it, but talk to me about phones and memories. Like, you mentioned that little line.
Well, we're at an interesting point in culture right now where with culture, we know how high the stakes are. Like, we know actually the damage that this is doing. We see, everybody's read The Anxious Generation, right? Or at least heard about it, Jonathan Haidt, and heard him talk about
Who
it.
Who you just met.
I just met, yesterday. Just met Jonathan Haidt, heard him speak. He did an event with Andy Crouch, who was, I mean, both of those. You talk about two brilliant guys hearing them talk.
Yeah.
So we know the damage it's doing. We know the damage it's doing to kids. And at the same time, we know we need to do something. But we just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But we know that if we don't do something, we know that what could happen, and this is like, this takes us to like a real heart level. Like, if we don't do something about this, then this generation of kids right now who are on Instagram and TikTok could be the very first generation of kids who will someday die with more of other people's memories than memories they create on their own. And so here's the thing.
Wow.
I'll say it one more time. Just like, if we don't do something, this could be the first generation of kids who will die with more of other people's memories than memories they create on their own. And so what's interesting about that, and this is where I believe there's a huge opportunity for the church, because culture, no matter where they are, because this is no respecter of faith, this is no respecter of politics, everybody is struggling with this. So culture is looking for clarity. They're looking for somebody, looking for anybody to give them clarity. Okay, I know the stakes. I know how high they are. Now tell me what to do, right? So I believe the church has an ability, has an opportunity here. And I know you're going to talk with Darren Whitehead about the digital fast.
Yep.
I believe the church can lead the way. They can model this way of what we do about our phones. And so we're working on something called the Digital Fast.
Yes, invite people to it. Tell them about it.
Yeah, go to digitalfast2025.com. It is a 28-day church-led initiative that walks you through four phases of technology reimagination and practices. It's not a true fast in the sense of abstinence, but it is it does walk you through dumbing down your phone. You get access to the RO platform along with it if you participate with your church. So if anybody is a church leader, if you're a church member and you want your church to participate, go to digitalfast2025.com.
Yes.
In January or Lent is when it will happen. And it's again, it is an opportunity for the church to say, hey, listen, we're leading the way. Here's what you can do. And if people say, and we talk about Christian stuff here, right? We're good there? Can we say Christian stuff?
I think so. That's okay. Safe space. Yeah.
So they may not, culture could look at the church and be like, hey, I may not yet believe in a risen Savior.
Sure.
But I really like how they're raising their families.
Yep.
I don't know. Like virgin birth, I'm not sure about all that. But gosh, their kids handle their technology well because their parents are modeling it well. Like, how cool is that? And that's what we're supposed to be, like letting our light shine, right? Yeah. So they can see our good works and then ultimately glorify our Father in heaven. Like, this is the opportunity. And what an unprecedented opportunity for the church to get this right. So the Digital Fast takes individuals through that. You have your individual experience, but you're also doing it collectively. Jonathan Haidt talks about that in The Anxious Generation. This is a collective action problem that is only solved by collective action. So people together. So in a traditional scenario, if you opt one person out, if it's not being done with other people, then it's not going to work. And so this is for a group setting like a church, but even on an individual level within families. Like, I believe if you are listening to this podcast, if you listen to the Intentional Parents podcast, like, you need to send this, you need to align with your spouse on how are we going to handle technology. And we'll give you some very simple principles that you can start with. But I would say, as a principle for everything, and this is a challenge, this is a huge challenge in families, I understand this, this is worth you fighting tooth and nail to align on as couples. You have to do it.
Yes.
And it's for the, and I'll say that it's for your marriage. It's for the intimacy in your marriage. We are in an intimacy crisis, I believe, in culture.
Yeah.
So it's for the intimacy in your marriage. But if that doesn't do anything for you, which it should, in intimacy, I'm not talking like physical intimacy, which it does actually. That is the end result of intimacy.
Sure.
But I'm talking about intimacy in just closeness, being fully seen, fully known. Everybody wants intimacy. They may not want to do what it takes to get there. But even if that doesn't do anything for you, for the next generation, for your kids, this is worth you aligning on.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, I believe that every good thing we want in life will be limited by our relationships with our phone. Mm-hmm. That's the upside. Like, it caps out right there, depending on your relationship with your phone. So fight tooth and nail to align with your spouse on this.
Wow.
What was the question?
I just want to applaud. Never disagree with everything you said.
You are the best and the worst all the same time. I said this after you interviewed us. I said, I think he's the best interviewer that I've ever come across.
Yes.
And it's very true.
Wait. But
yes, yeah.
Keep we going. Only got one of the S's. And there were three or four.
Yeah. We got a lot of S's.
Rewind.
We got a lot of S's.
And can you give the rest of the S's?
Yeah, let's drop some S's. Let's go S's. I'm going to do my best to stay focused on the S's right now.
Because
I got some M's and I got to start stuff. I got a lot of stuff.
Okay. I feel like we can give you full freedom to go wherever you want to go.
Can we do it all?
Yeah. Why don't you just listen, we're here to talk to you. So you take it.
Well, we are talking about phone relationships, on how you change your relationship with your phone. And the question does become like, okay, so what do I do? Like, what do I need clarity? And so if you listen to nothing else, I do have three things that you can do in your home today. Three things that you can do. And by the way, Aura is a subscription platform. I believe it's the most effective thing in the world to change your relationship with your phone. We have an Aura box where you can put your phone. I think it's the most effective thing you can possibly do.
And stylish.
It's stylish too. It's great looking.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have a box to do what I'm about to tell you. Yep. You don't have to have an app membership to do what I'm about to tell you. These are things today, and don't delay. Like, today, start these things. And you can pick one of them. So three things, and these are the three S's, and these are what things you can do today. The first one, I want you to spend 1 hour physically distant from your phone every day.
Hmm.
Now, if you can't do 1 hour, do 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's not let this, because this is the only way for us to break the cycle of our phone, like the relationship with our phone, is to break that proximity. And 91% of us have our phones with us 24 hours a day.
Yes.
That is crazy, by the way. 91% of us have our phones with us 24 hours a day. And when we have our phones, we're going to use them. We're actually only using them because they're with us.
Yes.
It's not the inbound notifications that are getting us. 89% of our smartphone usage is self-initiated. It's us picking up our phone because our brains go everywhere and we want to check the weather, then we want to check Instagram, then we want to go check email or whatever it is. And all of a sudden we're down a rabbit hole while Birdie's coloring in front of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it begins with starting this one. And when you do that, when you spend 1 minute physically distant from your phone, you have joined the 9% club of people who spend time away from their phones that day. So begin to do that. This is a muscle. This is a muscle that you can build over time. So if I wanted to go run a marathon right now, I would not run 26 miles. I couldn't run 26 miles. I would maybe jog 1 mile, right? Mm-hmm. So let's think about this on a long-term basis. So I want... And I know this is said, like, this is the most obvious thing ever. Like, oh, duh, spend 1 hour. Do it. Like, build up that muscle. Do it slowly. If you can't do an hour, I will say, I said 1 minute, but why don't you do 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. So spend 5 minutes physically distant from your phone. If you're already doing an hour, do an hour and a half. So spend physical time distant from your phone. That's one. Two, in your home, I want you to establish sacred times and sacred places that are phone free. And sacred's a fun word. Here's what's fun. What's fun about sacred is most everything, if you read the Bible, like most everything that's sacred is something that was man-made. Like that, and it was a thing that we deemed sacred. Like that you say, like, this is sacred. So we have this ability, this naming power to call something sacred that is man-made, that may feel common. So a sacred place, the easiest one, you can call this time or place depending on how you look at it, is the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, and again, we're saying basic things, but I'm telling you, these are life-changing. Mm. So at dinner, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's 45 minutes, whether it's an hour, that's a phone-free zone. Mm. And bring your kids in on this, because then they'll start giving you a hard time, Elizabeth, like you were talking about. They will love it.
They'll hold you accountable.
The cool thing about it, so RO is really meant for families. It's really meant for parents to model the way to their kids, for their kids to see it. So the people who love RO most, the people who will benefit from these principles, are your kids. They will notice because all of a sudden you're on a level playing field with your kids when it comes to relationship when you put this phone away, especially if they don't have a phone. So those sacred times and sacred places. Another place could be is your child's bedroom. Is for them, like, just don't bring it in there. Even, I mean, it could be even symbolic, like make a game out with your kid, like it can't go in, they can't go past the force field, leave it on the outside of the door, leave it downstairs, whatever that is, but establish those. Go with your partner, bring your kids in on it and talk about where it is. But one of my favorite stories, this is a deviation on this. Now I'm going to save that story. Gianna movie story. I'm going to save that one. Okay. That's a good one.
Do you want to remind you at the end?
I'm going to remember probably. Okay. There's a good chance I won't remember.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's,
got
so
it.
That's good. So one, spend 1 hour physically distant from your phone every day. Okay. Two, establish sacred times and sacred places. And three is what we said earlier, is to search for moments of connection. These common moments that pop up all the time. And you mentioned the subtle bids for connection. The Gottman Institute talks about these bids. These bids come, they're very non-overt, and it can look like my daughter saying, "Dad, you won't believe what happened in history today." Or my son saying, and this would rarely happen with Harrison, it would rarely happen to him saying like, "Oh, Dad, can we talk? I'm really struggling." It wouldn't happen like that. He would just start talking. Or my wife could say, "Hey," with my wife, it could be, "Hey, can we talk?" And that's the moment, like that's the cue for you to do something. Like that's such a cool moment. And when you say those six most powerful words, "Let me put down my phone," and then just go put it in a drawer, put it in an RO box, whatever it is, and then turn and look at them. And what you're doing is something so powerful. And especially for kids, this is setting them up for the rest of their lives. What you're saying to them is, there are 8 billion people on this earth who could theoretically reach me on my phone. And guess what? You're more important than every single one of them.
Yes.
What does that do? So let me ask you this. Yes. What does that do for my 14-year-old daughter? Like, what does that do the next time that she is confronted with body comparison? Mm-hmm. What does that do the next time that she is struggling at school or she's feeling less than? Or what does that do for my son as a young man who wants to be a good man? Like, what does that do for the intimacy in my marriage? Or in that simple act, right?
Because
when they go through those hard things, when Gianna goes through body image comparison, she may say to herself, "This sucks. This doesn't feel good. But you know what? Deep down, I know my dad loves me because I know his eyes look into my eyes."
Yes.
And this is this sounds, even as I say it, I know it sounds so reductive, but this is true. And that will set an expectation for them of what they should get in relationships in the future. Because the time if Gianna, someday when she goes on a date and the boy across the table looks at his phone instead of her at dinner, you know what she's going to do? She knows what to do. She'll go get the surf and turf, make him pay and never call him back, right? Like, that's it.
I've already queued him up.
Right, she knows what to do.
Okay, so I have a question about this.
Come on.
Because I'm imagining you are experiencing something similar that we're experiencing. Because this is how we are, I will say, attempting to operate in our house. We're not getting it right every time. I am the first to say I'm the most distracted by my phone.
Yeah.
Currently have no Instagram app on my phone because that's the thing that distracts me the most. And I'm like, I'm done with that. Yeah. I do not want to be distracted by that anymore. But our kids are struggling pretty consistently with their other friends who have technology, who are distracted by technology. And then coming to us frustrated and saying, "I don't know, they're just on their phone all the time. I want to talk and hang out, but I don't want to go to that event because everyone's just going to be on their phone." Or are you navigating this with your kids too? Because you're doing it differently. They have eyes to see that this is not how everybody's doing it and that it's affecting their own relationships with their peers. But it's, I feel like it's sometimes challenging to coach them what to do in those social situations. I'm like so excited on the inside that they're noticing that, and that's huge that they're noticing that so young. But helping them navigate relationships where I'm not going to coach them to walk up to their friend and say, "You seem like you're really digitally distracted."
Just give them a copy of Anxious Generation.
Hand them a copy of Anxious Generation to the kid. Haven't your parents read this?
I'm curious, what do you say to them when your kids ask you that?
I mean, well, our oldest has read The Anxious Generation. So we have great conversations. He loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Well, audiobook. Audio version. I mean, what I'm saying is some of that stuff, although might be challenging to sit down and have your child focus and read the whole thing, listening while doing stuff is far easier. So he'll actually get through a lot of content. I'll buy books and he can listen to whatever Audible books I have. And so he'll just go through and find what he likes.
He also likes journalism like that.
He does.
That's so
like
cool.
He totally does.
Stolen Focus first, or listen to Stolen Focus.
Oh, I made him listen to that one. And he's like, "It's really so interesting how
There's stories. I mean, it's fun to listen to.
And also he just got done with, what was it? Steve Jobs, the guy who invented this whole thing.
Wow.
His whole biography, I mean, that thing is, the book is thick. The audiobook's very long.
It's amazing.
But yeah, so he listened to that whole thing and just about the culture he created to get this excellence. And so we have all sorts of conversations. I digress. But that said, Anxious Generation, what do we say to them?
Currently we're trying to just help them see that what they're noticing is good. Like reflecting back to them. Yeah, you're noticing that these things get in the way and that's not the trajectory that you want. Mm.
But it's real though, because he just started high school.
Yes.
And so now there's this new thing happening where he's like, well, no one actually gets each other's numbers. They just get each other's snaps.
Snaps, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, and so we had to have an honest chat. I was like, so do you understand why they do Snap or why they want Snap? I know that's fun or like an engaging thing, but like that's not an app that we're down with you using for so many various reasons. Mm. And
explain to him why.
Yeah. And so, but it's really interesting because even though he holds all those beliefs, he's swimming in a pool where he's got to be the 1% kid that does that goes, I'm actually not going to do Snapchat. Mm.
Or he said, really all my teachers have QR codes for a lot of the stuff they're giving us, and his phone can't scan QR codes.
It's not connected to the internet.
Yeah. So in those moments, we had just one conversation recently. Normally, he's frustrated with what he sees happening in the world. This was the first kind of real conversation where he was like frustrated that we weren't giving him something different, just for a minute. And so we just tried to reflect back. Yeah, it's hard to be different sometimes. And just listened. And then by the end of it, he just needed to be heard. And he was like, yeah, I get it. I get why we're doing it this way. But I think we try to lean often into try to notice without judgment.
Yeah.
So often we notice and then we immediately judge.
That's so right.
As parents, we judge how other parents are handling it. As kids, we judge how other kids are handling it. And so trying to help them, it's okay for you to notice that you don't like what is happening here. You see that your friend is using the phone as a social, like to manage their social anxiety. It's okay for you to notice all of that, but not judge where they're coming from. Maybe they don't have parents who are guiding them through it. Maybe their parents are struggling with their own digital addiction. And that's kind of what we've been leaning into, but we'll see.
We have a new offering for you. If you would like to receive daily or weekly text messages and encouragement around parenting, marriage, with prayers and scriptures, click the link in the show notes and we would love to send those to you. Can't wait to connect more with you.
I love everything you just said. And one funny thing, the term RO means to notice. That's a term from the Maori that means to notice. And so we... going through that idea of notice is so powerful for them, and what they're doing, and effectively what you're having them do in that process, them recognizing they don't like how it feels when their phone snubbed.
Yeah.
The opposite of that is they love how it feels when you're in community and when you're in relationship. Yes. So in other words, they are beginning to recognize what they value.
Yeah.
At a deeper level, their values are becoming instilled deep within their hearts. Mm. So this whole process, like everything you just described, I would say like, wow, what an amazing opportunity for them to have values instilled deep in them, because that is going to be a template for the rest of their relationships.
Mm. Yeah.
That's going to be a template. Yeah. That feeling that they don't like, they'll remember that when they're parents someday. Mm. And they'll remember that when they're out on a date with somebody. They're going to start beginning to value those things. And so I think that process, the thing is that like, this is one of these moments for parents, like it sucks. Like it's not fun as a parent. It is not fun to watch your child struggle.
No.
Like, and I used to love this, like allowing your kids to go through something difficult feels heroic when you read it in a book. Like, we do hard things. Like, we do hard things. Like,
dude,
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Until, like me, you get texts from your daughter all day long saying, my stomach hurts and I don't want to play volleyball tonight, which I know, like, is her feeling anxious about playing volleyball. Yeah. It's not a physical sickness. And I just, I literally texted her this an hour ago while she's at school, like a great, tech company founder, right? Like it was, terrible me to do, but at school, she's like trying, please. Like, she goes, you always want me to play volleyball. And I said, Gianna, this is about, I know the value of struggle and I know how great it feels when you overcome it. And I know you're going to overcome it. And what I typed and did and deleted was, I hate allowing you to struggle. I didn't want to get into a big discussion, but it's not a good feeling to do that. But they're going to they're going to find their tribes more and more as they do that. Now, there's another element of this that we always have to balance out, is like, are they now becoming like, are they truly like so far isolated, and that's a balance you have to find as well.
Yeah.
But you don't have to just bow to those things. Now, for people who have young kids, here's what I encourage: is do this collectively very young. If there are leaders in schools, I would encourage you from a very young age get those parents together in fourth and fifth grade to band together. Go to Justin Early's. Go to the Hang Ten movement. Justin and Lauren Early have a great thing called Hang Ten, and it's don't get your kids' phones until 10th grade, which feels very extreme. Like, we did not do that. That would be really difficult to do, but I think those norms in society are pushing more that way. If your school leader do that, if your parents band together so you can do it, find like-minded people so it's not as difficult for your kids to go through this, because they won't be alone. And third, and this is not just a plug for the digital fast again, but do this as your church. Like, why is the church not leading this? Like, let's go do this together as a church, where that becomes normal, where the kids in their youth group, the kids in their Sunday school, they know they're doing this together and they're going through this and they're getting those same values.
Well, I'm just thinking the power of a family even doing, I mean, yes, a church doing it together.
Absolutely.
The best case scenario.
Yeah.
But even a family, even if your kids hate it, that will be something they remember.
Yeah.
That you have to set it up. You did this thing as a family. And even if they express that they hate it while you're doing it, chances are they're going to have great value for it later in life.
That's right.
Like, that was cool that my parents did that. Nobody else was doing that.
And you know what else that they'll kind of hate it for about 8 seconds is when they have friends over and tell the parents before, hey, we gathered the phones at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever it is. Like, and tell, by the way, my kids have now asked this. Gianna has said before, hey, Dad, will you come in and tell everybody that they need to put their phones up? So if you do that, they're going to love that experience. They will hate you for a second. Like, most of the kids, they will not like it, but it will be so short-lived that all of a sudden you'll hear more talking, you hear more laughing.
And our kids, we have similar deals, just no phones in the rooms and a handful of things like that. Similar, like at a certain time, phones go up. And it is interesting how our kids' friends, first of all, they don't push back because it's authority asking them to do something most of the time.
Right.
So it's always, so if you're like, they're not going to do it, I mean, you got to be a pretty defiant, pretty like push against the mold kid to be like, ah, how about no? I'm going to be on my phone.
Pretty good soccer player for
that. Yeah. But I mean, I remember we had the youth group come over to our, like some of their friends come over to our house and we had the box, but I hadn't got it. It wasn't plugged in yet, but I was like, hey, everyone, when you walk in, the phone's going here, and primarily because, like, no shame, if you need it, come grab it, but primarily because we just want to foster fun. They ate so much pizza because no distraction, and then because they didn't have their phones, all the dudes were like, we should go run a mile.
Amazing.
After they ate so much Costco pizza. And I was laughing. And then the guys went, which then any of the girls were like, okay, we'll go. And then all of a sudden, kids of every shape and size that have either some run lots of miles and some that have never even attempted were trying to run a mile around the block. And it was the most comical thing. And I don't know if it would have happened if the phones would have been out and everyone's just sitting, chilling.
I know.
Probably would have been watching YouTube videos.
You know, like all that stuff. And so I think you are also, I mean, in our lived experience, what you're doing with Gianna, you are giving your kids something that they don't even know that they need. And what a great example of the Heavenly Father, right? Like how often, like he's giving us stuff, or maybe it feels like he's taking something away, but he's like, no, I'm actually giving you what you truly want and need.
Yeah.
And I mean, as parents, that's our job to image the Father. But I'd have to ask you, because you'll know, but is ending on the movie and Gianna story, is that a good way to end this? Is that a good way to land this plane?
Because I trust
Oh, wait, but Elizabeth has a question. So after this, let's land the plane. Yeah.
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here, there's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable.
with a group of friends or in your community or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
What are you doing? You have a 16-year-old and 14-year-old. Yeah. And I feel like we need more than ever, we need like really practical. Okay, yeah. But what do I do? Mm. So how are you handling phones specifically with your 16-year-old and 14-year-old?
Yeah, I will readily admit, I believe we probably gave them phones as a principle a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. Probably so. We had just moved into a new city and Gianna was going to a new school and I decided she was going into seventh grade. Yeah. And I said, I think she should have a phone when she comes in so she can communicate with the new girls. That's probably a little bit earlier than I would have otherwise done it. But we decided to do that. I had the confidence then, and I actually stand by that decision for ourselves because I believe we had a couple of two formative years leading into them getting phones where we actually modeled it really well as parents, mm-hmm. is that we did prioritize the human relationships over phone relationships. Their phone, when I was not using my phone, it goes in the RO box. Mm-hmm. So they saw that and we talked a bunch about it. Like there was a long buildup to it. So we did talk about that. And Gianna came to me the other day, she went on Instagram and it was like, let me explain to you why like this is the leading cause of anxiety in teenage mm-hmm. girls. How could I as a good father allow that for you? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's challenging. And I don't want her to be excluded. Of course not. But it mm-hmm. was one of those where just like, yeah, this one's worth it here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they never sleep with their phones in their room. They don't have Safari on their phones. Yep. They, and again, we're talking about a freshman and sophomore in high school. Yeah. So, and those things, there are some minor inconveniences for sure. And would we have waited a little bit longer? Probably. Will they eventually get Instagram someday? Probably so. Mm-hmm. Like we're trying to be cognizant and intentional as we go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some ways, this is a balance because in some ways, we have to accept that technology is here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we accept everything that comes along with it. Agreed. And that's really hard. Like this is the reality of the world we're in. However, we can also create our own realities.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is a really challenging one. So I don't know if that specifically answers some of the questions.
No, just one more specific question. Sure. You mentioned they don't have Safari on their phones. Yeah. Are you using screen time to block that, or using Bark? What are you using?
Screen time to bark that. To bark that.
Screen. I bark that in my screen time. I bark it.
We use screen time to block that.
Yeah.
It's not. I guarantee it's not foolproof, right? This is. There are, any app downloads come through us. We'll do. I hope they're not listening to this. We do. You know, at night because their phones aren't in their rooms. Like check their phones. Am I missing something?
Sure.
For sure. Like there's no doubt. I'm missing a lot. Missing some, I don't think a lot. And I know kind of how to navigate around and see if there's hidden stuff and we haven't found it yet, but that's not to say that.
But you know, I think there's some gifts in that. We've been using Pinwheel, which is really effective in the sense of being able to see everything.
Mm,
so we don't actually have to go to their phones. Like it's right there.
Yes.
If you want to catch up on what their conversations were, you can read. And our kids, well, I was messing with Duke the other night. I was like, you know what we do for entertainment at night? We just go through your text and read your conversations. It's so entertaining.
I'm kidding.
We don't do that. Yeah, there's so many other things I want to say. This has been a delight. But I do want you to end with that story. You were talking about specifics. There was something I was going to say because you guys, as you were talking about the idea with screen time and the kids, there is a couple things with that are just so key. And being a parent, like that's inconvenient. Like it's in
absolutely.
We know we like any of the iPads, any of the stuff. We use it. We think it through.
Yeah.
Duke just got an iPad for school, and they're like, and dude, when they give these kids these iPads, there's no restrictions on
unfettered access. Oh yeah.
And so I opened it really quick, and he got home. He said, oh, I got an iPad. It's in my backpack, and I said, okay, here's the deal. Leave it on the counter until I get time to do it. You're not allowed to touch it. And like no big deal, but just don't touch it. Don't mess with it. And I was looking because we were adding screen time codes and I was like, there is literally nothing. They can do anything they want. And I was like, so it's both overwhelming and tragic. But let's end with your Gianna in a movie story.
Yeah.
Unless there's any other things that I'm missing from either of you two, because I don't want to take this over.
I think the and this story will dovetail into this. I want people to take heart on this topic. I really do. And don't become overwhelmed by how huge it is, and don't become overwhelmed by the lack of clarity, because it begins with very small things. This is just what we just said. And I believe, like, as principals, we talk about start, stop. I believe we very much, like, the temptation on this is to try to impose it on your spouse and impose it on your kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta be real careful there, especially imposing on your spouse. That's good. Yeah. But this as a start, it start with yourself. Mm-hmm. This has to. And everybody, if everybody did that, this problem would be solved today. If all of us started with ourselves. So, so as a start with yourself. And the second was stop at nothing. Mm-hmm. Stop at nothing. This is worth the fight. Yes. Like, this is worth the battle. This is what your marriage is worthless, worth this. Your kid, not worthless. Your
marriage is not worthless.
Worth this. Yes. Yeah. Your kids' futures are worth this. Like, it's worth you stopping at nothing. And if you fall down, if I were trying to go work out and I was on the bench press and I failed on a rep, like, I wouldn't quit weightlifting altogether, right? Like, I would go ahead and I would get back on the bench the next day and I would do more. Like, it's okay. You're going to stumble. You're going to do it imperfectly, but stop at nothing to continue to get this right.
Yes.
For us, again, RO is for the person who said, I'm struggling. I've tried other things. It hasn't worked for me. My kids are young. I want to get this right. That's for who it's for. We have a 7-day trial. People can try out, download the app. This is not a pitch for us, but I do believe this is the most effective way to change your relationship with your phone, but try it to see if it works for you. But stop at nothing, whether it's us or a pinwheel phone continue on this road. And I will tell you that the world can look different. Like, the reality that you're creating for yourself, the reality you're creating for your families can look different. And I know this as a fact, because on May 8th, 2020, and I know this because I read this in my journal the other day, a couple months ago, Gianna and I were watching a movie.
Okay.
Gianna was 10 years old at the time, and the movie finished. And at the end of the movie, she turned to me and she was not congratulating me. She was not judging me. She said, Dad, did you know that's the first time we've ever watched a movie and you haven't had your phone? That didn't feel that great. Like, it didn't, I was like, okay, God, mess this up for about a decade now. That's fantastic. But there was another side of me that said, I just did something great. I just did something that she noticed, because, again, back to the word notice, our kids are noticing machines. That's all they do. They notice and adapt. They notice and adapt.
Yeah.
And so she had never given me a hard time for it before, which breaks my heart a little bit, because I know that she had noticed and that she wanted me to be fully present with her watching this movie and laughing and coming up with these jokes. And that's, so again, here's a sacred time, sacred place, movie time. Make that a sacred time. How about you watch a movie without a second screen? So that was—
Isn't that so funny? So true.
I know, so true.
So true.
And you think we don't notice, but they notice. They notice
totally
everything.
They do. They do.
So May 8th, 2020, that happens. She had never, for a decade, I had never watched a movie without my phone. I told her this story right after I read this in my journal. So this is in May. And this was 4 years later. And I said, Gianna, do you remember when we watched that movie? And you said, Dad, that's the first time we've ever watched a movie and you haven't had your phone. And she laughed. She goes, Dad, she goes, that would be so weird if you had your phone during a movie now. So here's why I say that. Here's why I think that's so important.
Wow.
Because her reality shifted. And you're talking to the chief of sinners. Nobody is worse than the phone than me. Nobody. And it can change. And so if I can borrow from Rocky IV, you know, if I can change, you can change. We can all change, right? Sure. So this is something that we can change. And if you feel hopeless, and this is the thing that I want people to leave with. Yeah. If you feel hopeless, I promise you it can look different. And it's not going to be sexy. It's not going to change overnight. It's going to be very slowly over time. But over time, you're going to change the reality for the people around you, and the way they feel loved, and the way they feel noticed, and the way that you experience the world. This, to me, is the most hopeful opportunity we have as parents. So push away the guilt, push away the despair. This is the most hopeful opportunity we have as parents.
Joey, thank you. Such wisdom, such encouragement. My mind's spinning with all the different things that I want to continue to learn and grow in this area, but you're a huge gift. Yeah, you and Heath, who also runs RO, you guys are a huge gift. And what you're trying to attempt to help people with in a very tangible way is a gift for us. It's a gift for those listening. And I love that you not only have heart and the ability to understand it, to research it, to figure it out, but that you're actually trying to resource and come up with new tools.
Yeah.
And so we cannot recommend what you guys are doing enough. And you as as men and as leaders in your company and organization, incredible, incredible people. And so where can people find you guys? Obviously we said the RO podcast, check that out, but where else can we find you guys?
Yeah. Check out, I mentioned the Digital Fast, so digitalfast2025.com.
Yep.
And then, you can go to our website, goro.com, but really just go to the app store and download RO, A-R-O. 7-day free trial. See if it's something that can work for you and your family. Mm-hmm. And leveling up, if you'd like to level up and purchase an RO box as well, along with the membership, that is a game changer. It's a tactile tool. You drop your phone in it. It yes. automatically connects. The RO, by the way, gamifies the experience of being away from your phone. So through the app and through the box, if you want to level up.
Wow. So fun. Well, this is definitely by a long shot, not our last conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being such a joy and such a big human.
That's thanks to Phil and Jan Odom. That's thanks to my parents.
All right. Thank you for listening.